Hey everyone, welcome back to the Noteworthy Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here today. We're going to get right to it. Today, we're interviewing my good friend, Justin Kamlick. He's been on the show before. We did a part one and we promised you that we would do a part two. And Justin was in town for our annual Reset Youth Rally. We had such a great time together. He's one of my dearest friends in the world. You're going to love today's episode where we talk about youth ministry, music ministry, preaching ministry, and the hunger that it's going to take for this generation to get to heaven. Thank you guys for tuning into the episode. Let's go. Hello, everyone. I'm here with my dear friend, Justin Kamlick. Justin, how you doing tonight, bro?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm glad we decided to do this at an ungodly hour, but it's going to be fun, especially with the new mic setup you have.
Yeah, we're super pumped because for the first time ever in the history of the Noteworthy Podcast, we are set up with two microphones right now. We're feeling pretty profesh right now. I'm not even going to lie.
Right. Granted, neither one of us knew how to set it up correctly.
Yeah. So if we're really honest, we've been sitting here for half an hour trying to figure out how to operate two mics. Yeah. I've never done it before. Thankfully, Justin was so kind to help me. But for you guys listening, Justin is actually in town for our Reset Youth Rally. He's going to be helping lead worship tomorrow. And other things. And so, Justin, I'm so glad you're in town, bro. Believe it or not, he's actually at my house, and he's getting to hang out with us. And, bro, I'm so glad you're in town.
I'm honored to be here, man. It's going to be good. I'm excited about tomorrow night as well. It's my first Reset. I haven't got to come to Reset before, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, my goodness. I did not realize that.
Yeah, my first one. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Well, bro, last time you were on the show, it was just such a great conversation. Yeah. Had great feedback from people about just how the conversation blessed them. And the thing about you and I is that we're close, we're very good friends. Yeah. And so we tend to rabbit trail a little bit, which is actually what I loved about the episode.
Sure.
But I didn't even get halfway through the questions. And so for you guys listening, you can go back on the show. You'll see Justin Kamlick down there. And I think it's episode like 20 something. And he has an episode. That's part one. Okay, right. So today we're going to be jumping in on part two.
Yeah.
But I just kind of want to do a little recap and just kind of update from when we talked last. Last time we talked, it was before NAYC.
Yep.
And we were talking about the talent search.
Yeah.
And we were talking about your new single that was going to be released and everything. Yeah. How did all of that go for you? How did Vessel for the King and NAYC go for you?
It went wonderfully. It was an incredible time. We spoke last time about going to Vanquish as well.
Yes.
That was a ton of fun, a great experience, just a fun time getting to experience going to a studio, learning the process of recording, and Joe was awesome.
Yeah, I love Joe.
Just an incredible guy, and we've kept that friendship going. But it was wonderful experience singing at NAYC, an incredible opportunity. Somewhat nerve-wracking, obviously.
Yeah. Such a great job, bro.
I appreciate it. As happy as I was to, and honored as I was to get up there, I was just as happy to get off the platform.
I was in the back, bro, in the practice room, and I told Brother Aaron Curtis we were practicing. They have a little monitor back there where we can see who's singing.
Yeah.
And the second I saw you, I was like, Brother, can I please go out there for this? So I ran straight out. And, bro, I'm so glad that I didn't miss that moment.
That means the world.
That was a really special moment. Thank you. I caught some of it on camera. Yeah. I deleted it because my iCloud's done. No, I'm kidding. I still have it on my phone.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? Here's what's funny. I forgot who sent me the picture. maybe I forgot who sent me the picture, but they sent me the picture of me on the big screen, right? And because screens, multiple screens create that mirror image, right?
Yeah.
Whatever ended up happening, I had like my arm extended out at this one part of the song, and it looked like I was singing to myself. so he sent me the picture. I think it was
you're like reaching out. Yeah, too. I'm I reaching saw out, picture, singing you're like to reaching myself. Out to yourself. Like, I love you, Justin. That's great, bro. So, I was proud of you. It was an exciting year. I can't believe it's 2020.
Oh man.
And so we got to talk a lot about music ministry last time you were on the show, and we were just kind of hitting the tip of the iceberg with youth ministry.
Yeah.
Last time that we talked, but you know, we serve on the youth committee together. Yeah. We get to work in youth ministry together a lot. Like tomorrow's a great example, and God's just blessed us to get to work together a lot. I mean, we're at a lot of the same events. We get to lead worship on a lot of the same platforms. With youth ministry, what do you think can be? And I know this is an interesting question, but I was thinking about it earlier today. What do you think can be some of the most challenging things? Because I know we tend to talk about all the exciting things, right? And we have a tendency to kind of build up youth ministry as because it has big platforms like NAYC and Youth Day at General Conference, and youth ministry has some of the biggest platforms in the world.
Yep.
But what about the challenging side? Like, what about the everyday?
Yeah.
You know, real youth ministry is every day, right? It's not just 3 days every 2 years at NAYC.
Right.
For the youth ministers that are listening right now, what are some of the challenging things you've had to face that you overcame?
Yeah.
But it took a lot of work for you to overcome those things.
A few things.
That's a hard question, I know.
No, a few things I could kind of preface that with. Number one, in regard to all this, for whoever's listening, I want to preface it and make it clear that the stage I'm in my life is a learning stage. So I don't pretend to be an expert or to know that in my grand 25 years of living, I have mastered it. But I will definitely let you know some of the experiences. Something that Brother Huckabee came and he preached our Awaken Youth Rally. And something he said to me that stuck with me, and we actually talked about it some tonight on the way here. But one thing that people don't realize about youth ministry, a lot of times youth ministry is one of the first, a lot of times for people, that were some of the first opportunities they get in maybe a leadership or in pastoral roles.
Wow.
I would say youth ministry is one of those first ones. And so you come in with a lot of preconceived notions about how you think it's going to be, and then you find out very quickly you were wrong, and it's not anything like that. So something Brother Huckabee told me was he said that he had preached across the U.S. and that he had preached on some of the biggest stages, including NAYC.
Yeah.
And it was funny to him that He's when he amazing, came back bro. To his home church, he found out that nobody cared. Nobody cared. Yeah, nobody cared that you sang on a big platform or preached at a big church or whatever the case might be. When you come home, you're just normal Justin. You're just normal Nathan to them. And in ministry and in youth ministry, there's a lot of things that I found out that you go out of your way to do because God's put a burden on your heart.
Wow.
And you sincerely care. And you have to deal with a lot of times, people do care. I say that liberally. People do care. But a lot of times you put that effort in and you have to deal sometimes with the results that you didn't expect.
Wow.
And that was a tough thing for me. To be able to cast vision to a youth group and try to learn how to do that and be confident in what God's given me, regardless of how they look or respond or act. That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing to have those preconceived notions and realize that you've got to be consistent and faithful. So even if somebody doesn't care of your talent or ability, you've got to be consistent. You've got to be faithful and committed to those young people in youth ministry or whatever future ministry you have to stay on top of it. And something that Brother Huckabee said was consistency creates culture.
Wow.
And that's the hardest part, I think. Everything else is a byproduct of consistency.
See, that's interesting that you hit on that, because I was listening to the UPCI Youth Ministries podcast this week, and there's an interview with Brother Josh Carson on there about youth ministry and some of the challenges that we face in youth ministry. And he made a point that really convicted me. It really stuck with me as a youth pastor. It said, you know, you may think that that young person doesn't care, and you see them every week, and you say hi to them every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday night youth rally. You get on that van with them and take them to that church, and you think they don't care, but you don't realize is that at home, they might not have a mom or a dad.
Wow.
Or either.
Yeah.
And you're the only life in their life that is consistent.
I think that's the better way of saying it, too, is I say that, like I said, I say that liberally, that they don't care. But really, it's more or less they're not letting you know a lot of times that they care.
I've found that they, a lot of times, they don't know how to let you know.
They don't know how. Yeah.
Because they don't have somebody at home.
Right.
They don't have somebody in their life, man. The very first year I was a youth pastor, bro. I've been, you know, this isn't a long time, but I've been a youth pastor for a little over 5 years, going on 6 years this year, and I've learned a lot along the way, mainly by making mistakes. That's usually how I've learned. But I found, bro, the first year, the Lord really convicted me, because if you know, you're paying for kids' meals that came without lunch money, and it hit me that 80% of today's culture of Generation Z does not know how to say thank you.
Yep.
They literally don't even understand what it means to say thank you.
Not even comprehended.
And see, as I'm a millennial, I don't know. Would you be considered a millennial?
I am.
Yeah. You're a millennial. So we're millennials. Our generation, I believe, had better understanding of thankfulness.
Yeah.
And but we were teetering on the edge of that.
Already, yeah.
And so Generation Z, man, they are really struggling with Thanksgiving, with being thankful for what happens to them, for what people invest into them. You know, I remember when I was a teenager going up to my youth pastor and saying, thank you for investing into my life.
Right.
You know, I've had that happen a few times in my youth ministry, but that's the minority, right?
Right.
We don't have that every day. Yep. And I was thinking about it, bro. It got me emotional, because the youth ministry training is coming up in St. Louis this year in August. And Rachel and I are going to be working with the music. They've been doing all these promos for it. And I saw this promo that Chris Barber from Indiana is going to be one of the general session speakers. And I got very emotional, because hear me out here.
Okay.
Chris Barber was not my youth pastor, but he was one of the youth workers that was on the youth team. And when I tell you that he had a major impact on my life, bro, a major impact on my life. And he's the youth pastor now, but when I was there, he was on youth staff for years before he became youth pastor at Calvary Tabernacle.
Yeah.
And it got me really emotional to think that here's somebody that has invested into my life, and we're going to be serving at the same event together.
Wow.
Like that really hit me. And it's like God hit me all of a sudden and said, guess what? You're kind of the old guy now. It was like, it hit me. I was like, you're not the student anymore. Yeah. You're the old guy.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. In that situation with you, with that experience that you had, what would you say was impactful to you from someone like him that was involved in your life? If you're looking at it from the perspective, because we're looking at it now years removed from a student.
Yeah.
We're looking at it now as a youth pastor.
Yeah.
So if you could put yourself in their shoes, what was most influential from him to you?
Yeah, there's a couple things that really stick out in my mind, bro. I had a great youth pastor, Brother Josh Anderson, and then after that, Brother Phil Chandler took the youth group. They called it Youth World. okay. in Indiana. And that was before Brother Chris Barber was youth president. But, man, what I really remember about Chris, and if you're listening, man, I love you. but I wasn't planning on talking about you today. But
I became the interviewer.
Bro, it just hit me. But I'll never forget it, bro. I was in Youth World, which was our Wednesday night, basically our youth service. And they didn't have a full band at the time. They've evolved a lot over the years, so now they have a big band and everything right. there. But I was there, there was a keyboard, and that was it.
Yeah.
And maybe an acoustic guitar player that didn't plug into a sound system, right? And for Altar, they played Who Am I by Casting Crowns. They didn't have a band. So when we went up to the altar, they just played that song. Who am I
yeah.
that the Lord of all the earth? And to this day, when I hear that song,
wow.
You know, I had the privilege of meeting him later,
wow.
and I told him about it.
Wow.
But I remember Chris came up to me that day. He laid his hands on me, and he said, Nathan, you may not know who you are yet, but God knows who you are.
Wow.
And that, I don't know why that stuck out. He probably would never remember that yeah. in a million years. It yeah. was just a fleeting prayer as he was walking by praying for students. But something like entered my life that day. It was yeah. like I was 14 or 15 years old, and I really felt a call to preach on my life. And it,
wow.
it's like the Lord was saying, you're running, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that I've called
right.
you. And man, Chris and Brother Chandler, they really just invested into me. And I think the number one thing that impacted me was he gave me his time because we would go fishing together.
Wow.
And we'd go fishing together, and we would just talk about God. We'd talk about Scripture.
Wow.
And to this day, you know, I was able to see him at NAYC, and he came up to me and gave me a big hug. And
wow.
that meant a lot, because it was like, you know, I've seen a lot of kids come and go, but I'm
yeah.
thankful what God is doing in your life.
Yeah.
That stuck out to me, bro. And now to think, here we are, you
yeah.
know, working with students. And it's crazy to think that you can be that voice that's investing
right.
into the next generation, because when they're investing into you, you never think you could be like them, right?
Absolutely.
You never think you could be like them.
Impossible.
Have you ever had moments like that where it's you just knew something happened in your life?
Yeah. Even with people, I think you said it really well in regards to what he said to you. He probably didn't even realize the impact that it would have on you. And there's been a lot of things that's happened, especially for me at camp, growing up going to Georgia District Camp. A lot of men either praying for me or that were there consistently in my life each year, that would come up randomly and say, hey, I believe in you. Little words of encouragement that to them was probably so little, but to me meant so much.
Makes all the difference.
And when I look at my life and I look at my inexperience, I try to be very clear and in my own knowledge of knowing that I'm inexperienced, I'm learning, I'm trying to grow. And I look back and I say, what the same question I asked you, who influenced me? And when men would pass by and pray for me and speak something into my life, or they would say something encouraging to me, and I realize and remember that impact, I could then go to a young person. Because I remember, I didn't, like you said, I didn't go and tell them thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't say, hey, I appreciate this big impact you had in my life. You
know, yeah.
I didn't do that. Instead,
I wish I did. But
right. You wish you would have now.
Who does when you're 15?
And so now, if I can train myself to realize that and still allow myself to pour into other people, and it's not the type of investing like in a stock market. You're not looking for a return on investment of financial gain that you can see a number count, right? Or a dollar increase. You're investing in people for the kingdom's sake.
Wow.
And with that being said, the return cannot be measured in how your personal or carnal mind thinks it's going to come back to you.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be measured in God's measurement of one day when they move away and they never said thank you to you, and they moved away and they became something for God that you never got to see.
Wow.
And that, to me, if I could influence somebody, that would affect their life and get past, like I said, the carnality side of it and looking for that validation.
Wow.
And that's a hard thing. Not that I went into being a youth pastor for the idea of being validated, but we as humans look for that.
Yeah.
Right. And so if I can get back past that and say, no, this is a God thing, and I'm going to speak that word to him, and I'm going to let God do the work, I think that helped me.
Yeah.
And I tried to take that example from those men before me that spoke into my life. And I want to just, in the middle of my inexperience, learning and growing, I want to forward that on to the next person, the next generation, and hoping they can take that.
Yeah. Well, man, speaking of challenges.
Sure.
This is a question I didn't get to ask you last time, but I really wanted to ask you.
Okay.
And I've been able to ask a few guys this, but what's the most embarrassing moment? And it may not be youth ministry. It might be something else. We've all had them. We've all lived them. If you've been in any kind of platform ministry at all, whether it's preaching or singing, or if you're on the puppetry team, at some point had it. What's your most embarrassing moment you've experienced on a platform?
I've had a few. Actually, one was pretty recently with you. Actually, you were there. I'll give you two stories that I can think of right now. You and I were singing at a Christmas at a Christmas concert, and I got up there.
I just remembered.
I got up there to sing "Mary, Did You Know," and I said, "Was I talking about how did I get on? Did I get on Adam and Eve or something?"
You were talking about somehow you got you were trying to talk about Mary and Joseph, but you got off onto Adam and Eve somehow,
and I said I don't know if I said Joseph, I don't know if I said Joseph and Eve, you said, or if I said Adam and Mary. I tried to convince the whole church that they just said, knew the Bible incorrectly.
You said Mary can You said Mary could have had a child. Adam hadn't even known her yet.
Adam hadn't even known her yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great moment. How I pulled him into. The best part is, and this is when you know you've got good friends, you never would have known if we hadn't told you.
I never would have known.
If we were good people, we would have let you just move on with your life, and you never would have had to know that happened. But I felt like, if I'm going to be the friend that God's called me to be,
that God's called I need you to let him know,
right?
Right. Yeah, so that one, you told me about it after, and that makes
sense. At Waffle House, I enlightened you.
Yes, that makes sense on all the puzzled looks on everybody's face.
Everybody was kind of like, wow, I didn't even know Adam was in the Christmas story.
This is some deep biblical stuff. I thought the time period was different, but apparently not.
Wow.
There was that time, and then I may have said this in the last podcast, but bless the hearts of every Georgia District music team I've sang on, because I am the absolute worst tenor.
You're a great tenor, bro.
I am not. They look at me and they realize very quickly I have no idea what I'm doing. And anyways,
bro, you're literally in my city at my house right now because you're a blessing to people.
So, 1 year at camp, Sister Walden, another one, bless her heart, had asked me to lead a song, and I was supposed to do this bridge tag deal at the end of the song. It wasn't a part of the original version, but they had added on as a tag on. So I get up there at camp in the middle of worship. I'm leading the song, and I was supposed to sing the the end of the song, and I didn't know the lyrics. And at that time, we did not have confidence monitors or monitors up where we could see the lyrics. So either you had to memorize it or bring up your own words. So me, being the responsible one, said no one ever, I took a picture on my phone of lyrics that I wrote down, which I have terrible handwriting. Okay? I wrote
it
down.
So you wrote it down.
Yes. And then took a picture.
But decided not to take that. You just took a picture.
Yes. Now you're catching. So here's where the story thickens. The plot thickens. Okay. Have you ever taken a picture with your phone and you did not allow it, if you held it at a certain angle sideways, you didn't allow the computer to rotate so it adjusted for you holding your phone sideways or straight up?
Yes.
So I took the picture incorrectly, where it was not adjusted the way I took the picture. So what happened was, when I got up there to sing, I turned the phone sideways to read the lyrics. And when I did, the picture rotated. Right? So I'm up there. I just keep twisting the phone. And the picture just keeps running away from me. Right? It's like when you chase a straw around a drink and you can never get it. Right? So I'm chasing the lyrics. I have no idea what they are. So I end up getting halfway through it, forgetting the words, and then just begging everybody to please worship God. That was my way. And I looked at Sister Walden.
Terrible feeling, bro.
She could not help but stare beams through me, because she told me so clearly before that you have to learn this.
You had one job.
You had one job, and I couldn't even take a picture correctly. So that was awful.
So I wanted to share a story with the congregation, Justin.
Let the people know.
I wanted to bless the body of Christ. So the big joke was at Hyphen Retreat, another event Justin and I got to minister at together. And there was this big joke at Hyphen, because I sent out this group message to the whole music team.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
This big group message, right? And for those of you that know me, I'm pretty conservative. I mean, for a millennial, I'm about as well. There are people more conservative than me.
I've seen Nathan walk on water. He's so conservative.
No, nothing like that. But I would consider myself a conservative in a lot of ways, and I'm still trying to be more like the Lord. But
right.
But I sent out a message and I said, "Listen, I know there's not a no gene policy for Hyphen. I don't have a problem with genes." But I'm just asking that if you're on the music team, let's not do jeans, right? And that's and I know a lot of people are gonna be wearing jeans.
Yeah.
But let's just try to do a little bit more business casual. You don't have to wear a tie or anything. It was this big message, right?
Yeah.
And it was funny, I got all these responses on it. Like it I didn't think anybody would respond, but they're like, "I'm totally with you, Brother Nathan. I'm with you."
Which, for the record,
I'm all.
I am with that concept.
You know, when right, you have you. Liberal friends, don't get teasing. So this, no joke, Justin shows up, and he looks nice, right? But he's wearing these blue jeans. He's got this nice like jacket on. He's got blue jeans on. We gave him the hardest time about that.
Here's the thing: I showed up to practice with those on. Okay, and nobody said anything to me. And I have a policy against group messages. Okay, when I get group messages, the odds of me reading it are slim to none.
Right.
And apparently I missed some very important information. And nobody enlightened me. They just let me walk up there.
So then, Justin puts our youth president, Michael Patterson, up to this idea of coming up to me. So Michael Patterson, which has also been interviewed on the podcast, you can go back and listen to his interview.
Yeah.
He's our wonderful youth president, our dear friend. We love him very much. He comes up to me dead serious. I'm standing at the taco truck.
Yeah, no, now back up. Here's the thing, though. Michael, Brother Patterson, had worn jeans.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah, he not only wore jeans, but he had a jean shirt on too. It was like a denim. It was like a denim commercial. It was like
a Wrangler.
It was like a Wrangler.
He literally came in on a horse.
It was
and cowboy
like a
boots.
Wrangler. I think he rode like an actual horse to Hyphen Retreat.
Yeah, his horse name was Stallion.
So he comes up to me and goes, dead serious, no joke, dead serious. He goes, you know, real straight face, "Nathan, I needed to talk to you. I heard that you're highly offended that I'm wearing jeans tonight. And I looked at him and I was like, oh no. And then I looked over to the right and I see Justin in the corner cracking up because he's put him up to it. And then Brother Patterson just bust out laughing because they had got me. So never again, never again. Here I tried to take us to the next level. Never again will I do such a thing, but.
I've got one more funny story. It was kind of embarrassing, but it's more funny than anything. So I was on the platform. I just happened to be up there. I was actually gonna. I was helping Brother Johns with something at camp meeting one year, and so I had come down from like the little choir loft there and had walked down and was standing beside him. And this is all on video. I need to find it and go back because you can see it from the filming. Of camp meeting, but Brother Bernard was preaching for us that year and preaching our night services at camp meeting. And so for whatever reason, I had come down and that day was my birthday. Okay. And I didn't think of it, but Brother Johns found out and being very kind, you know, he comes over and tells me happy birthday. We're on the platform. And so as I had walked down, I'm standing beside Brother Bernard.
Right.
And Brother Johns comes over. So we're standing in a triangle. Brother Johns comes over and he puts his arm on my shoulder and then he puts his other arm on Brother Bernard's shoulder. So we're standing here in this little triangle. And he looks at Brother Bernard and he says, Brother Bernard, this is Justin Kamlick. Justin Kamlick, this is Brother Bernard. He said, Brother Bernard, would you know that today is Justin Kamlick's birthday? He's 24 years old or 23, whatever it was. Apparently, they're a big deal, so birthdays. He said, would you know that today is Justin Kamlick's birthday? And Brother Bernard looks at me with this puzzled look and nods his head and goes, okay. like, well, what do you want, a cookie? You want a cookie?
He's like... okay.
What do you want to do about it? And look, so he doesn't say anything. And Brother Johns goes, okay. And then walks off. And then I didn't say anything the whole time. I was like, well, all right.
Bro, that's one of my favorite stories of all time.
Down. He had no idea what to say. He was like, what do you want to do about it?
It's so funny, man. Well, bro, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about preaching because I didn't get to... We didn't get to hit on this at all last time, mm-hmm. and it's just one topic I really wanted to talk to you about, and I know you're very humble about it. I know you're going to start it off with how you're learning and and figuring out the process, but you're a great preacher. You relate very well to students. You're very anointed, not just in worship leading, but in preaching, and I want to talk about your preaching ministry, and we were talking earlier about the anointing,
yeah,
right? And earlier, Justin and I were driving to Walmart at like 12 midnight for whatever reason to go get
place.
Volleyballs and basketballs, yeah, for youth day tomorrow, right? Yeah. Yeah. The life of youth pastors. But we were talking about the anointing and just some of the thoughts you were throwing at me were just kind of blowing my mind about the anointing and what is that like for you? Like when you step into a pulpit and the anointing takes over, tell me a little bit about that process, right? Because the anointing, what we see in the pulpit, that's what everybody kind of sees, right?
Yeah.
But let's rewind just a little bit. And what does your process look like when you're preparing a sermon,
yeah,
between the prayer room and the pulpit, between that moment, right, of anointing? When,
yeah.
You know, we all see that moment, but what happens before then,
yeah,
to get you to that moment where you feel like, okay, Lord, I'm as ready as I'm going to be,
right,
to do what you, right, called me to do on this Sunday morning or this Sunday night, this Friday night youth rally? What does that process look like for you?
Yeah. Most of my experience, I'll back up and say most of my experience starting out was in worship leading. And, I remember everybody, I would say everybody's experienced this, but it's one thing to go up to the pulpit and to feel the anointing.
Wow.
And it's another thing when you go up and you don't feel the anointing. And wow. So I remember as being a worship leader, not even having preached yet, I remember the feeling, the difference between walking up there prepared and feeling the anointing of God, and then walking up there feeling bare and not having anything. And so when I went into preaching, as much as I've tried to learn and grow, the one thing is preparation.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest part.
Yeah.
The easy part, if you have prepared, is delivering what God's given you.
Right. Because the anointing's flowing, right? There's so much help from
right
from God in that moment. But when you sit down, and I know I'm getting really practical here, but sure. I like to do this on the podcast because yeah. I feel like that's kind of what it's a platform where you can kind of hit on these topics
right.
where you might not could do this in every teaching
right.
setting. But let's say, I know I'm just kind of digging kind of personal here, but you mm-hmm. sit down, you've got your blank Word doc open.
Right.
Yep. Right. The little
I got
cursor's beeping.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
nothing there.
I got you. Okay.
And so this is what I like to ask anytime mm-hmm. I get to interview a man of God like yourself or anybody I've been able to talk to, because this is the daunting task.
Yes, it is.
Of somebody that feels a call.
Yeah.
But they haven't stepped into it yet, and their life feels like that blank yep. Word document.
Yep.
And they feel like, where can I start?
Yep.
Like, what can I do?
Yep.
So the cursor's kind of
mm-hmm.
blinking there. What happens at that point for
gotcha.
You?
Gotcha. I'll start with that, and then I'll try to shift it to the spiritual side. So for me, when I'm sitting there looking at it, the Lord has normally given me a topic or something that I've written down. Either a biblical reference or something. I'm just walking down the street. I see the classic way that people talk about getting a message or a title or something of that nature. But when I do that, the Lord will normally connect that to something that he's been dealing with me about. And so I, for wow. the rough sketch of the of my text, I will start out with with biblical referencing. So I want to compile and work into scriptures out of the Word of God that I know can help support what God has given me.
Okay.
Now I'm
yeah.
not saying that in the sense of trying to tailor make or pick and choose scriptures.
Right, right, yeah.
To back up a thought I had, right?
Right.
But more or less picking, choosing scriptures and working through the text of the Word of God to support His Word. And something, brother, something a pastor told me once was, I'll see if I can say it correctly, but my dad told me this as well, but a young Justin struggled with the concept of going to youth camps and then seeing these great preachers come up with these great sermon titles. And dad said, you know, Justin, you don't need to come up with the next great thing.
Wow, yeah.
Everything under the sun just about has been preached.
Yeah, nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to come up with the next deepest, most incredible scripture nugget that's dug out of the Bible that you can preach and try to make it so creative. You know, you don't need to do that. You need to preach the Word of God.
Right.
You need to preach the Word. You need to get in the Word. You need to learn the Word. You need to preach it.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, I can never get anything. The Word of God doesn't need to be supported.
Wow.
I use the Word of God to support
you.
Me.
Woo, man,
there's no cool story I can come up with. There's no grand theme, theory, or sermon title that I can put up on that screen with a cool graphic design that is going to somehow elevate the Word of God.
Wow.
The Word of God stands on its own and elevates itself. That's why a pastor who's been somewhere for so many years can go back and preach a message and it be valuable to the people. So I say all that to say this. So if I'm standing there looking at a blank canvas then if God's given me something, I've got to start to dig that out, first of all. I need to learn about it.
So he gives you something, and then it's like he puts it in your hands.
He puts it in my hands.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, and we have resources.
Yeah.
We have the Word of God. We have things. We have things to go and look at and reference. And we are living in such an informational age that we can look things up and find things out so quickly and get information. So really, I want to take what God's given me, and I want to build my case first by the Word of God.
Wow.
I want to build my case by the Word of God. And then after that, then I can go and I can come out with my cool story for the first of it to open up with, if I find an intriguing story that connects to it. But my foundation at the end of the day has to be the Word of God. And I found myself as a young preacher,
since
we talked about this, me being in a learning stage, I found myself as a young preacher reversing the process incorrectly. I had a cool story, and I would want to go make the cool story the foundation of my message.
And go find a word to support your story.
And go find the word to support my story, when instead I should find the foundation in the Word of God and use those neat stories and things of that nature for the captiveness of the audience in and of itself. And after that, really, I'm going back to build my foundation on the Word of God. So that's something that God's really challenged me with to grow.
Somebody told me once the story captivates them, but the word changes them.
That's good.
It's like, you know, and
that's a great way to say it.
And you know, brother LJ Harry's preaching for us tomorrow night.
Yeah.
By the time this podcast airs, he'll have already preached.
Yeah.
And he's such a great example of that. How he always starts off with something that catches your attention, but it's never just a sermon based around a story. He always gets right into that word.
Yeah.
But he uses something that will captivate your attention. And it's interesting, Justin, because I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I think we've talked about it too, how the human brain in this culture can pay attention for 30 minutes max.
Yep.
We've got about a 30-minute attention span.
Yeah, that's your window.
When we're sitting in a pew. And it's also interesting because we're like that in our prayer life too. It's like in a culture, you know, Brother Woodward said to me when I interviewed him, he said, we've got more study resources than ever, and we study less than we ever have.
Cannot have been said any better.
More at our fingertips. Yeah. There, you know, just the computer that you and I are sitting here looking at right now to record this resource, you know, that's hopefully going to bless somebody that's listening. Yeah. Just at these keys, we have infinite resources at our fingertips. And in some ways, that's a tremendous blessing. And in some ways, it's a tremendous curse.
Yep.
And we have to find out how to cultivate it, because no resource can replace what happens in our time with God.
Yeah.
I love how Victor Jackson says it. He says, I love this man. He says, reading books about the Bible can't be more important than reading the Bible.
Man, that's good.
And how, do you know how often I've been guilty of that? Where I am reading a book about the Bible and saying, I'm studying the Bible. And and Victor says, no, you're not.
Nope.
You're studying a book about the Bible.
Yep.
I'm like, wow, I have never thought of it like that. Yep. But no matter what new resources we have, none of it's going to do what took place when the Word of God was written, and when it was inspired by God and breathed by the breath of God. And so we see that happening in our culture. Why do you think that we struggle? The more we have, the less we give.
I think it's insane how quickly that we develop habits and we don't want to deviate from them. And so I know it's the more we have, but the statement, like less is more and more is less.
Yeah.
There's only so many things you can focus on. And not to get on a pedestal or to whatever you want to call it, but with stuff like social media, I believe wholeheartedly that 50 years from now, 60, 70, 100 years from now, that scientists are going to look back at the effect that social media has had on our generation and go, they didn't realize what they were doing to themselves.
Wow.
Because like if you look back in the day, many years ago, like George Washington, if I have my facts straight, but George Washington was basically
the seventh president of the United States.
The seventh president was basically bled to death for them trying to get rid of the sickness inside of him, right? That was their medical practice because they didn't know any better.
What, leeching? Is that what you're talking about?
Basically that, but they actually, I believe they actually would bleed people. Like wow. Literally just let them bleed and then stop it after a minute. And he eventually being ill, losing that blood, they were trying to get rid of the sickness, right? So my point is, though, it's because they didn't know any better. They were practicing medicine, right? And so here we are today. Here we are today. We have things like social media, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, 100 years from now, the psychologist and doctors are going to look back and go, they had no idea what they were doing to themselves. They didn't realize the addictive tendencies and the comparison qualities that a thing like a social website gave to those young people and the insecurities that it gave. So here we are. We have the Word of God and our growth spiritually competing,
right,
with the carnality of our flesh. And the problem is some of these things, Facebook, Instagram, all these social sites, many of them, they aren't in and of themselves bad.
Yeah.
But we are just so hooked to it that it makes it bad because there's an addiction, if you will, there. And so there becomes a drawing away from the things of God.
Yeah.
Not to sound like an old man, but it just becomes a drawing away. We are satisfied with letting other things fill us up.
It's like when you do a social media fast, and if you don't delete the Instagram app off your phone, you'll tap it 7 times.
Yeah.
Out of habit and completely forget that you were fasting.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so our theme this year at church, my dad has given a theme this year of hunger.
Oh man.
It's very like simply that. Hunger. He's standing up there preaching the Word of God, and he's looked in the eyes of people that for whatever reason seem to sometimes lose that hunger. It's inevitable. We're human if we don't stay on top of it. And growing up, what always happened, if you ever go to Logan's or somewhere like that, is you would eat the rolls and the peanuts, and you would eat the filler. And the filler foods that just filled you up but really didn't have nutritional value.
Oh, man.
Right? Until the thing that came to the table that actually brought nutritional value and may have actually been good for you, from vegetables to meat and potatoes, things that would have actually been better for you. But you were full already. You had already eaten on all the fillers. The amount of time that we spend on entertainment and the things that we take in is astronomical.
Wow.
From Netflix to social media to any level of entertainment to please our senses and to give us that filler. And when we get to the house of God and when we crack our Bibles open or when we go to pray, we're already full.
Wow.
And so
we come in full and we're not hungry for God.
We're not hungry for God.
We're filled with things of the world.
Yeah, so I know it sounds so simple and so really cliche, but it's the truth. It's just the consistent truth. And the scariest part about it with a lot of people, the bad part about it is because a lot of these, whether it's social apps or some sort of entertainment network, we have classified them as being okay or a good thing. But just because something's not necessarily bad doesn't make it good or okay to take that much in.
Right.
And the scary part is we're not realizing it. we're not realizing. I taught a lesson in class the other day, in youth class. And basically the concept was, in my youth class, I don't want you to be walking away from the throne of God asking the question, I wonder why I didn't make it.
Wow.
When he says, when he looks at him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want my students and me to be the youth pastor that never told them. Wow. It's because you don't have a hunger for God. Don't wonder why anymore. If you wonder why you come to church and you don't feel God, it's because you're so full of everything else. If you wonder why you don't have a hunger, it's because you're taking in everything else.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid that we walk away from the throne of God and he says, depart from me. And we're puzzled and we say, I wonder why. Mm-hmm. I wonder why. And to me, we are in a generation of denial.
Yeah.
That is wonderful as our generation and the generation after us is going to be, I believe, in Jesus' name. Heaven forbid that we as youth pastors aren't honest with them.
Yeah.
To where they come to church every Sunday and they go, I wonder why I'm always broken.
Right.
And so we've got to get away from the fillers and we've got to preach it and teach it and create that culture consistently. Get away from the fillers.
I believe that, man. It's like Brother Jason McGard used the illustration of, I don't know why this possum keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Said, because you feed it.
Because you feed it.
And some things that we're fighting are because of some things that we're feeding.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're feeding things. But bro, man, this has just been, I want you to know, this has been a really edifying conversation for me. I need friends like you. I thank God for friends like you. And we need each other, bro. I mean, we need conversations like this need to happen. Yes. You know, and I've, you know, I had somebody ask me, and I thought I might never mention it, but it didn't bother me or offend me or anything, but I had somebody ask me a few weeks ago, you know, how do you talk to all those people about church? And, you know, you always focus on church, you know, on your podcast, you know, you talk to them about the Bible all the time. How do you talk about that all the time?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like a Holy Ghost boldness came over me, bro. I looked at them and I said, if you can talk about football morning, noon, and night, then I can talk about Jesus with everybody that I get to talk to.
Everybody.
You know what I mean? Like there is no end to his word.
Yeah.
There is no getting tired of the people of God.
Yeah.
You know, this is what God has institutionalized, the church, you know, the Book of Acts church. And that's what we're a part of, Justin.
Yeah.
And so I don't get tired of this.
No.
You know, you can always talk to me about what you're dealing with, what your youth group's going through. I don't get tired of that.
Right.
Now, if you talk to me about baseball, I'm going to get tired of that quick, right? Because, and I'm all about it. If somebody loves baseball, go for it.
Yeah.
Go Braves, right?
Yeah.
All for it. But that's not going to make any eternal impact on my life. It's not going to help me in any way. And so for you guys that listen, thank you so much for investing into your eternity and for caring about the things of God. And Justin, I was wondering if you could just pray over us and we're going to pray over youth workers, but I also want to pray over students. You know, I've been blown away. There's a very high demographic of students that are listening to podcasts. The Devote 365 podcast was just launched this year. Sir. That's exciting. A lot of students are doing devotionals every single day on the Devote 365 podcast, and I'm thrilled by all of those that tune in to the Noteworthy podcast every week. Would you pray over us that God would just give us that hunger that you're talking about and close us out in prayer?
Yes. Dear Lord, I come before you sincerely, God. I pray for every individual that, not only the ones that are listening to this, but Lord, the ones that are, whether they're in the beginning of their youth ministry, whether they're trying to grow and learn in you, God, you have a purpose, a reason, and a desire to have a relationship with us. God, I pray for our hunger. I pray for my personal hunger. I pray for Nathan's hunger, God. That we're not simply satisfied with where we are. We're not simply satisfied with the status quo. But that we'll put off the fillers of the world, everything that we do, that we consume on a daily basis with an agenda to grow more in you. God, I pray a special hedge of protection around each and every person that listens to this on their way to work, on their way to church, God, in their evening, on their drive home. I pray you bless their family. You give them strength. You give them the ability to do what you've called them to do. God, I thank you for everything you have planned, that you bless us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Justin, I love you, bro.
Love
you mean so much to me. You're one of my dearest friends in the world.
You are too, man.
And we have a lot of fun, but I'm also, some people you can have fun with, and that's great. But it's a special thing to have somebody in your life that you can have fun with and also leave edified and encouraged and ready to take on the world. So I thank God for that. Well, tomorrow's going to be exciting. Thanks for being here, bro. I'm excited to lead worship with you.
Yes.
It's going to be a great one in Jesus' name. And bro, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Look, I wanted to say this to you. Thank you for the opportunity. I am sincerely humbled that you even asked me to be on your podcast, especially with some of the great men of God that have been on here. I don't even deserve to,
praise God,
to be in the same company. I don't consider myself to be, but I just appreciate the opportunity. You've been so kind to me and an encouragement. Thank you for all you do.
Bro, it's an honor. I'm so glad we got to make part two happen.
We
I told
it
you
happen.
It would happen. Here it is. Here we go. It just happened. So guys, if you missed part one, be sure to go back and listen to part one.
Yes,
we talked about a lot of things that we didn't cover today. Put them together. You got 2 hours of a lot of great content with my good friend, Justin Kamlick. I love you, man.
Love you too.